Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 5 of the E5 podcast. Joining me on today's show is Richard Lee Sam at our Lee Sam. Richard, how's it going?
Everything's good because the Leafs did not lose today, so I'm happy.
Spoiler alert, they did not play.
I said they didn't lose, all right? There's no need to keep going with that.
Okay, also joining us is Tristan. Yeah, his handle for the next month or so will be at Shift Evil. Tristan, how's it going?
I'm getting chirped already. I'm good. I'm blushing right now, though.
And last but certainly not least is Antonio Debaye, at Antonio Debaye, of the University of Waterloo Imprint Newspaper. Tony, how's it going?
Doing good.
All right, well, Josh Donaldson is a Blue Jay. So that's pretty cool.
Josh Donaldson is a Toronto Blue Jay, and we are not dreaming. This is real life, guys. This is not a drill. Josh Donaldson plays for the Toronto Blue Jays.
In other
horns.
In other news, Brett Laurie is no longer Blue Jay. And that has fangirls everywhere crying.
Let's just have a moment of silence for the Red Bull supply in Canada. Life will never be the same for them.
It's not going to be sold out everywhere now.
Although, I think if you're a Red Bull, like if you own a corner store in Oakland and Brett Laurie lives nearby, and you just sell Red Bull, like, I think he could send your kids to college.
Honestly.
No, but, people are mad because you traded away a Canadian. Brett Laurie lives in Arizona. Brett Laurie does not live in Canada. Stop with the Canadian nonsense.
Also, a quick Google Maps here. If you go from Oakland to Brett Laurie's hometown, he's from what?
Langley, BC.
So you go from Langley to Oakland. Google Maps search says it is 1,472 kilometers. If you go from Toronto to Langley, it is actually it's about three times as much. It's about 4,300 kilometers. So from his hometown, it's about three times closer to Oakland than it is to Toronto. So
shots
this whole local kid thing always got blown out of proportion. And I mean, like, it was hard not to love him because he, the way he played, he gave you 110% literally every night. He found extra energy somewhere. And
he almost killed himself in Yankee Stadium during that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a different conversation.
That was insane. And he does it every time. He's just, that probably hasn't helped his health either. Just him jumping around on concrete, basically. Flopping around, making insane plays.
Yeah. It was fun to watch while he was on the field. Like, those plays over at third were nuts. Like, it seemed like he made one every single game, right?
Oh, easily. Well, the good news is that Josh Donaldson's just as good defensively, if not better. So
he doesn't say funny things. He doesn't tweet videos of him dunking on a basketball net.
He doesn't add unnecessary letters.
He doesn't fist pump.
Or emojis. No emojis.
I think one thing we got to keep in mind, and like all fans have to keep in mind, is that, yes, it's sad to see Brett Laurie go, but we need to remind ourselves that Josh Donaldson is what Brett Laurie could be.
Josh Donaldson is what we wanted Brett Laurie to be.
Exactly. No, but and he can still very well become that type of player, right? He's only 24 years old, but Josh Donaldson, we have 4 years of control on him during his prime at a very affordable value. And I think it's a win. It's a win trade for the Blue Jays by a landslide, I think.
Yeah, you could get arbitration out of the next 4 years from Donaldson.
Yeah.
And then if he starts to decline, you could let him go. You don't have to assign him any long-term contracts if you don't want to. You can get him fair market value. And if those last couple years there, if he's still producing at a high value, then you can sign him for 3 or 4 years. But
And I think also, what is he projected to make in arbitration this year? About 4.75, right?
Yeah, 4.7 million.
Yeah, this is a guy who had a 7.4 war last year, or last 2 years. Only Mike Trout has a higher war than Josh Donaldson.
He had a 6.4 war last year, if you go by Fangraphs, and 7.7 in his breakout season in 2013. So no matter how you slice it, he had the same F4 as Jose Bautista last year.
Yeah, you're getting an elite player. And one thing that I find interesting, because a lot of people on Twitter have been discussing this, is that people are focused on positional needs, they're like, oh, we already had a third baseman, we already had a catcher. But if you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, and if you look at the 2014 version of the Toronto Blue Jays, that team won 83 wins. They were 6 wins away from making the playoffs. If you take a look and combine Deonor Navarro's WAR with Brett Laurie's WAR, it's about 4. If you combine Russell Martin's and Josh Donaldson's WAR, it's about 13. Now, these numbers according to Baseball Reference.
It's not even that.
That's a 9 WAR difference right there.
It's not even that. They had a chance to drastically improve some positions that they did. This isn't the final moves, right?
Yeah. No,
at the end of November.
I'm just making the argument, like, if you take everything to be the same and say nothing changes, and like the bullpen performs the exact same way, the starting pitching performs the exact same way, and then you add these defensive, offensive, you know, oriented catcher and third baseman, the Blue Jays have already, you know, you can see them winning high 80s, low 90s amount of games next year. Do you see the point I'm trying to make here?
They're also not done either. Sure. They still have some work to do.
Yeah, they're not done. I'm not saying they're done. I'm just saying that these are moves. They're saying that this team, as it is constructed right now, might not be a playoff team. Yeah, it might not be a playoff team, but they're way closer than they were a week or two ago.
Well, I mean, like, did people think that the Rangers were going to be a playoff team last year? Like, I mean, look how they turned out. Like, anything can happen. Same thing with the Blue Jays, right? Like,
injuries, right?
Yeah, well, we got rid of somebody who has a ton of injuries for somebody who has almost missed an insanely low of playing time, considering the position, for, like, Brett Laurie being made of glass, Josh Donaldson not being made of glass. So
this is also, I think, this is the thing that probably excites me the most about Josh Donaldson last year in Oakland, in that black hole offensive graveyard. He, on his 11.2% of his fly balls went for home runs, which is above average. Then you go away from Oakland, 18%.
Wow.
Even if that goes down to something like 15, he could easily hit 30 to 40 home runs next year for the Blue Jays.
Wow.
And then all that, like, all of his numbers would then come up. And that's kind of exciting to think about. Because he said in his conference call with reporters on Saturday, he said, I probably hit about 14 balls this year in Oakland that I thought were going to be gone, but they weren't. So
he hit 11 at home last year. Yeah, I saw that on my timeline.
Yeah, I think 11 sure and he had, but, which means he hit 18 away. So at that home, even at the home and away, they just even out, that's still, you're still looking at 36 home runs. Add that to a lineup that already has, here, I'll take Cespedes Barbecue's tweet here. A lineup that has Jose Bautista, 158 OPS plus in the last 4 years. Edwin Encarnacion's 149 OPS plus the last 3 years. And get Josh Donaldson even remotely close to that, then you probably have three of the best hitters in baseball.
Something else I just want to point out, like, the two people that we've acquired so far, Russell Martin and Josh Donaldson, they both have playoff experience as well, which very few people on the Jays have. So, I mean, they have that winning instinct. And like Josh Donaldson said in the conference call, like, he's always played for winning teams, considered himself a 6-tool player.
One thing that the Blue Jays have also done, in kind of the era where pitching has started to take over, you have the Masahiro Tanakas, Clayton Kershaws, and batting's kind of in a bit of a decline. You've added two guys who get on base well above average, in Donaldson and Martin. So you've added offense in an era where that's starting to become harder to come by.
Now, I want to ask you guys a question. A lot of people are saying the Blue Jays need to acquire a left-handed bat to balance out this right-handed heavy batting order. Do you agree with that? I think that notion that you need to have that balance in the lineup, I think, is ludicrous, in my opinion.
Also, Russell Martin's a better overall hitter from the right side of the plate. Sorry, from the left side of the plate against right-handed pitching. Yeah, I think last year he had about a 145 WRC plus. So, I mean, there's that. Jose Reyes. If you can get Melky Cabrera back, then it's really a left-handed hitter would almost be a bit of a, I don't want to say a knock, but if you can only hit left-handed pitching, then why would you not have switch hitters who can hit both sides of the plate?
Yeah.
But imagine,
as long as they can hit both pitchers, right? What's the big deal?
Exactly. It's
like if you can hit both right-handed and left-handed pitching. Who cares what side of the plate you're doing it from?
Speaking of needs, what else does this team need? You know, you need a corner outfielder. You know, you need maybe two bullpen pieces and maybe a starter. Do you think that if they can do that, do you think that the playoffs are a possibility? Because I really think that we could be seeing some October baseball if they shore up the bullpen, if they can get a solid corner outfielder and just stay healthy all year.
This team,
I think so too. I agree with that. I don't think the starting rotation is necessarily a need they need to address. I think if they perform somewhere like they did last year, I think they'll be fine. They'll be a playoff team. Now, is that rotation good enough for the playoffs? That's another question. So we will have to see during the season. Like, it all depends on like how Marcus Stroman does, how Drew Hutchinson does, how Aaron Sanchez responds in his first year in the starting rotation. It all depends on that.
We're also assuming that Sanchez will get in the rotation. If J.A. Happ is still here, Marco Estrada is still here, he probably won't be. He'll probably be shuffled to the bullpen. I was looking at Steamer projections for relievers, and they project Aaron Sanchez to have a negative WAR this year, mainly just because they're predicting the walks that plagued him in the minor leagues and just kind of disappeared in the big leagues. They're kind of expecting that to resurface. If that happens, his FIP goes up, and Fangraphs WAR is based off of FIP, so his value goes down.
Yeah, so I think that you have to let him start, because if he's one of our top prospects, why would you let him just play in the bullpen, right? Like you have to fail, and if he fails, then just put him in the bullpen, and he'll have a great career there, right? But if he's coming into like his first like real season, you have to just let him compete for a more rotation spot, right?
And the way I see it, you have Yonah Navarro and Jay Happ.
Well, he should.
Sorry, go ahead, Tristan.
Well, like in his high inning, he pitched a bunch of the bullpen. I don't know exactly, but like he showed flashes of brilliance with the moving on the fastball, the breaking pitches and stuff. So I think like he will have that shot to start. Probably makes it.
I think if you look at Jay Happ and Yonah Navarro, for me personally, those are two guys who I'm looking to flip to get to plug other holes. Because right, you have Russell Martin at catcher. He's pretty durable. He can play a lot of games. You have guys like Daniel Norris and Aaron Sanchez who could step into a fifth starter. And even if they just provide like fifth starter value, like 1 to 2 wins like Jay Happ, they're doing it for $6 million less. So that's the way I stand. And also get Yonah Navarro's $5 million. If you can even flip Navarro for a second baseman, like that's an upgrade right there. That's a bunch of value, because Navarro's not going to be worth two wins again this year if he's playing at DH.
Wait, so you mentioned second base there. What do you think about Alberto Carrasco as a possible solution, short-term solution?
If you have Meister as Stirs, I'm really not sure why you would get Alberto Carrasco. Ben Nicholson-Smith from Sportsnet just tweeted something pretty good. His career line is 267 average, 330 on base, 370 slugging. Meister Esteris is 269, 331, 372. So they almost have the same career stats line. So why would you give money to Alberto Carrasco whenever you're already giving money to Meister Esteris to do pretty much the same thing?
You know why?
It's
because he's a Blue Jays killer. That's probably why. He always seems to do really, really well.
I mean, like, if you have Devin Travis brewing in the system, who they're saying is going to compete for your job, but is realistically probably more for 2016 for a second baseman, why would you bring another guy on for another couple years on contract if you're going to be blocking Devin Travis? And that's why
Travis had to move to the outfield, right? Because
Ian Kinsler was blocking him in Detroit.
Yeah.
And the Blue Jays wanted him as a second baseman.
Well, that's why they were converting him, right? They were putting him in the outfield because of Kinsler.
Yeah. Oh, the Blue Jays said that they want him at second.
Well, who doesn't want a good second baseman? But yeah, with the with his Trist there, unless the Blue Jays have forgotten about him too, but I don't see the need for Carrasco with his Trist there.
All right, so today's edition of Mitch Nay or Mitch Air, we're going to be focusing on some Blue Jays walk-up music. So we will play an audio clip for you, and then we will discuss our opinions on them. So I'll let Richard lead this, because I know nothing about music. So
I don't know anything about music either.
Well, yeah, but you know the music that they listen to, and I don't. Okay. So that's why I'm turning it over to you.
Let's start off with Batista's the dun 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 dun. I think it's good for Batista, right? Because when there's a late game, thing going on, and then you hear trophies, at the game you get apt.
Get you
right?
going.
Because, it's Batista coming, right? So that just adds to the mood. But people like Reyes who use Drake all the time, and Melky who use Drake all the time, it gets annoying, right? Reyes uses his own freestyle to a Drake song, tech, which is cool, but I think Goins uses a Drake song too. Lori always used those dumb club beats that he made on his iPad. The guy would take two songs and mash them together, and that's what Lori would use. There are a lot of guys using those Dominican songs, and I know Kawasaki uses El Teke Teke, which Edwin used during 2012 season, and that's probably my favorite one. Okay, because
my favorite one. Shout out to my white boy Adam Lin, My Girl Bad by Ludacris. My chick bad, my chick hood, my chick do stuff that your chick wish she could. My chick bad, my chick hood, my chick do stuff that your chick wish she could. My chick bad, better, better than dirt. My chick bad, better, better than dirt. My chick bad, better, better than dirt. My chick bad. That's the funniest walk-up song.
You're always at the game and you're always why is he using the song?
It blows my mind every single time. My chick bad. Excuse me, yeah. Ludacris. Of all the songs, Adam.
He used to use Thoya Thoing by R. Kelly, which was hilarious. Oh, Adam Land knows how to pick walk-up songs.
All right, who else?
Who used the Wolfpack song?
Nolan Reimold, NWO Wolfpack. One of the greatest wrestling entrance songs of all time.
I disagree.
Second only to maybe 619.
I liked that song that who was it? Edge used.
I don't watch wrestling. I just 619 because we're in the studio for a
match. So weird. Who else? Who else had a good song? Oh, Josh Tolley last year went from Bubble Butt to Batter Up. Which are completely different songs, but he used Batter Up during the second half, and then he went back to Bolova for the last few weeks or whatever. But that's probably one of my favorite songs, and it's just a perfect walk-up song. what songs would the three of you wait, crap. What songs would the three of you use if you played in the bigs?
Me?
Yeah.
You guys don't. I honestly don't know.
You don't know?
Nope.
Okay, Tristan, what song would you use?
Hold on. For MLB The Show, my Road to the Show player, I always use Radioactive because that's just on there. That's a good song.
Oh, that's boring. That's boring.
I know, but that's all I know. Boring.
Oh my goodness. Terrible choice.
I know. That's all I got.
Wow, longer be joining us in the podcast.
The pub.
What would you
watch the halftime show?
I did not.
I would use Your Love by The Outfield.
Never heard that song.
Arguably the greatest song of all time.
I will look it up after we're done here.
Also, while you're looking it up, look up the SNL skit with Josh Hutcherson that they did for it. So Outfield, obviously, baseball reference, late 80s, great musical time of the history of the world.
Jesus.
But honestly, I wish the 80s musically never ended.
So funny.
Oh, God.
Okay, Tony.
Okay, Tony, just because you're old doesn't mean you can make fun of my youngness.
Shut up.
The history of the world.
I actually liked those rock bands in the 80s. They made good music.
Yeah, man.
But, like, they had the craziest hair, too. Which
man,
was...
like, Tears for Fears is, like, the greatest... I'm watching Donnie Darko just for the music. Like, young Jake Gyllenhaal's the worst. He's so moody, but, I mean, the music is unbelievable. Tears for Fears... Mad World, Gary Jules.
The one song I'd use if I were in the major leagues, it'd probably be, I don't know if you guys have heard that song, Wave After Wave. It goes like, wave after wave, wave after wave. Slowly
he's singing. This is a great podcast right now. Please continue, Tony.
Wave. I don't know the rest of the lyrics, but that one, I would use that one. Or Shakira.
Shakira, okay.
Yeah. You know the 2010 World Cup song?
Oh.
Waka Waka? Yeah. That is spot on right there.
I would use Batter Up probably. Either that or I would use... what was Sanchez's Waka Up song?
It's a wonderful question. Not I have no who? Idea.
No.
We Dem Boys. We Dem Boys. I would use We Dem Boys, but that's so like overused. Like that and I'd say any Drake song is... Well, was... the most overused song in baseball in 2013. I don't know what else I would use. Probably like an old school song from Nelly or like even Still Dre, which is a Dr. Dre song that Lori actually used last season. I like that song.
Oh, back to my baseball career. The one time I did use walk-up music, it was Tiny Dancer, Elton John.
Oh. I am fully for that. That is a great song.
Actually, really?
I would use the Fox song.
Which one was Kobe Rasmus? I feel like he had a funny.
He had
one.
It's probably talking about trucks.
Boys Around Here, and he had
was
Let's
it
Roll.
That talking about so, girls talking about trucks thing?
Yeah, that was The Boys Around Here by Blake Shelton.
Okay,
that's actually a pretty good song.
That is pretty good.
I like Honey Blake. Bee by Blake Shelton.
I don't like Blake Shelton, though.
Because you're Colombian.
It's annoying.
I feel like really Brett Laurie should have been like a Skrillex. Just like a hardcore, make your ears bleed song. That's what I feel like Brett Laurie would listen to.
I think the best part about Laurie not being in Toronto is not having to hear that at the ballpark all the time. But then again, Laurie never played for us, so.
Oh, shots fired! I somebody who's not a Blue Jays fan on Twitter pointed this out, and I've kind of noticed it too. Is ever since Brett Laurie left, like we've been ragging on him a lot. Like we're all like, I don't want to say we're hating on him, but like now that we have Josh Donaldson, we're all like, okay, screw Brett Laurie.
No, I mean it's funny because Laurie was the butt of our joke even when he played for us, but now that he doesn't play for us, we can just keep going with it because it's hilarious. Laurie tweeted like a 14-year-old boy, and it was funny because like that was supposed to be our franchise, or you know, like cornerstone, like a few years back apparently because he's Canadian. But
what are you talking about, Richard? 14-year-old boys tweet sources; they steal from other people.
Oh,
they tweet
about
sources.
Yeah, they do. They...
Oh,
shout out to Jake West.
Oh, wait. Oh, shots!
Shots have just been fired on the E5 podcast.
Yeah, wait. I think we need to talk about this because
wait, guys, who is Jake? Well, Jake who?
Wesley.
Tony
here. So basically, there are a bunch of sports fans on Twitter that act like they're sources. They act like they're insiders, right?
They are children. They are my age, but they are children.
No, there are a bunch of us that know people like this, right? Like, if a player gets called up right now, there will be people an hour from now saying breaking. Blank team calls up blank.
The best,
we know people like this.
I would always love
this
whenever
is true.
People would just take like the Toronto Blue Jays, like the app Blue Jays have designated all in capital letters, Juan Francisco for assignment, exactly, passing it off as their own source.
So there's this 14-year-old boy from St. Louis, obviously a Cardinals fan would do something like this, scours Twitter and acts like a source. For some reason, he tweeted about Sandoval, and we all knew it was crap, right? For some reason, people think he's some source. He's just reading like what actual baseball reporters are saying and regurgitating it without giving them credit, right? Yeah. TSN 1050 Radio had him on their show 2 days ago.
Are you serious?
It was insane. He has 12,000 followers because he lies and acts like he has sources when he doesn't.
Pause.
And I have no problem
saying.
That's
a new soundbite. Just Antonio going, are you serious? Okay.
And it's crazy because he has no sources. He just blatantly steals what other people are saying, passes it off as his own. If he's wrong, he deletes it.
So
right?
What he's guys, doing? Maybe, what he's doing?
Maybe we're the stupid ones. Maybe we should start doing that so we can get interviewed.
No, guys, you guys know what he's doing? He's like the childhood ruiner account of the baseball world.
Oh,
like all these garbage Twitter accounts that just recycle tweets.
Yeah, like all those
like parody accounts, like Chris Rock, or like Chris Rock is funny account,
or like Phil Werrell.
Yeah, Phil Werrell. Yeah, terrible.
Nutella.
Oh my god, those like that. I like milk with a bunch of random letters everywhere.
Yeah, he basically is the sports version of that, but he's a real person and he's getting like noticed for it, which is stupid.
Wait, but do you guys say for example, you know the people from Baseball Essential? I think we all have them on Twitter.
No, I don't.
You mean Baseball Sportsnet? Plus?
Baseball Essential.
Oh, it's Baseball Essential.
You know, like amateur.
Yeah,
MLB Network or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, young guys, like,
yeah,
you know, like us.
No.
They literally tweet like that as well.
Yeah. There's look, here, this is from 55 minutes ago.
What is up, guys? My name
here is
Jeff.
An interview that they do. Some dude literally looks like he's sitting in his basement interviewing that Jake Wesley guy.
Well, baseballcentral.com.
It's crazy. He doesn't have sources.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. They published a peach. They published a piece.
Peach?
So
they published a peach.
They published
wonderful news.
A piece about how Jake Wesley was a fraud. So this kid decided to sit down and talk to them. So that's actually kind of nice of him that he was going to address these instead of like.
Wait, who? What account is this? Sorry.
This Baseball Essential account.
Oh, yeah. It's like a whole network, and then there's this guy who pisses me off the most. His name is Max Wildstein.
I've heard of him.
Oh my god, he's so annoying. I think he had to
You have to. We have to edit this part out because it's fine to talk about Jake Wesley, but we can't talk about Max Wildstein because he followed me. So like, I know that like, he's like around on the Twitters, and you'll see.
He follows me.
He gives sources though.
No, not all the time, man.
Well, I mean, half the time these like big name guys don't give sources either. Like Ian Rappaport, he like NFL insider had some tweet about, or no, he was the Alex Smith contract extension, and some guy who tweeted it originally, Ian wouldn't give him credit because supposedly the guy had tweeted one false thing before. So I mean, it happens everywhere. Like it's not just baseball. I mean, Twitter's terrible for this.
But like when something happens, people always want to be the first one to break it. There's just some, I don't know, like ego boost that people get when they break a news first. I mean, when they break a news story first, even though us as the fan, we don't care who breaks it first. It's just about, you know, the actual news itself, right? Like, I know that there have been arguments amongst writers and stuff because of, you know, who said what and who broke it first and who didn't, like,
They just broke the Grey Cup. But anyways.
Did they actually?
They just broke it.
They dropped it, didn't they?
No, it looks like they were holding it, and they literally...
Watch what I tweet next.
Oh, here we go. Here comes an elusive Richard tweet.
Wait, guys, I literally did not know today was the Grey Cup.
Okay, that's another issue. Nobody cares about the Grey Cup again. Nobody, if you're not in the Grey Cup... And you're not in the city where it's happening, and you live in Canada, or minus Saskatchewan, the entire province.
Why would you boo me?
Minus the entire province of Saskatchewan.
You're a shitty person. No, I know that Ticats fans are like passionate about that. I know Saskatchewan fans are passionate about it. I know Eskimos fans are passionate about it. I think Winnipeg fans are passionate about it. But other than that, it's just like, yeah, whatever. Like, we'll watch you when like we don't have like another sport to watch.
Like I. Oh, I don't know if this should be included in the podcast, but I mean,
yeah,
I
no, wait, no, wait, stop. We have to end this podcast right now, so yes. We can continue talking okay. because Roman is gonna have to go back and edit it. So
okay,
so that's gonna do it for us today on the show. If you'd like to express your gratitude that Josh Donaldson is a Blue Jay, you can follow us on Twitter at E5 Podcast. For the absent Kyle at Blue Metropolis, Tony at Antonio Devalle, Tristan at Shift Evil. And Richard,
thank you. I love you.
You're welcome. And
wait, Roman, before you end it off, for you.
All right, sorry.
Oh my God, we suck.
Jesus. Can I finish or not?
When there is a person missing, we need to mourn them a little bit more than we do already.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's just have like. Wait, what?
We'll take it from. Okay, I'll take it from the top. I'll take it from the top.
Okay. Take it from the top.
So that's gonna do it for us.
Are you saying that we should mourn Kyle for not being here?
Yes, or when I'm not there, mourn me.
Okay, so Tony is just looking out for his own self right now because Tony knows that he's going to be absent at a time in the foreseeable future. So Tony's just being like a dick right now. He's being very selfish, if you ask me. That's how you end it. Thank you for listening.
I don't know what to do. Have a great day.